The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome on back. It's our itsy bitsy teensy weensy Saturday evening show with my good buddy John Corbless behind the glass waiting for your calls at 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. Of course, always look forward to the texts to the 710 KNUS text to studio app. And never fear, Alexa is here. Wishing us all a happy rainy and snowy Saturday. And then, very interesting. She and I tend to think alike, apparently. And I'm sorry to label you with that, Alexa. I know it's probably frightening. But from her text, she said, so we had Howard Stern lie about Trump's call with Raffensperger. And fortunately, the truth is coming out about that. Followed up by Biden lying about supposedly saving six kids when he was a lifeguard, receiving salacious pictures from women in the 70s that he gave to the Secret Service, that he was arrested standing with a black family as a kid. Unbelievable. I've got these clips, Alexa. We put them together earlier today. John, thank you very much. And we are definitely going to get into some of the lies and some of the obvious provable misstatements based on context and referring to his mom as honey and just all of it. Man, Alexa, you rock. Anyway, it's so good to have you here. And our phone number, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. What a day, from the pouring torrential rain to heavy snow. And now it seems to be clearing off. If the Channel 7 weather, the super 7-day forecast, is anywhere close to right, we'll get to with some rain tomorrow, but high 50s, high 60s on Monday, back to 70 on Tuesday. And then we'll cool down as we head toward the weekend a little bit, but nothing like what we had here. So very much to talk about. Supreme Court was in session, oral arguments. They doubled, I think, the length, like two and a half hours. And I did not get to hear it all. I've just been reading about it, about Donald Trump's immunity claim. And it certainly seems like, based on just reading the tea leaves from questions and sort of the desperation of people like Justice Sotomayor with some of her inflammatory questioning and all of that, that the Supreme Court is likely to weigh in and say, yes, of course, presidents have to have a certain level of immunity, not 100%, certain level of immunity. But some of the smartest predictions that I've seen are that they'll make a decision that this needs to go back to the trial court for some further determination. And the bottom line about all that, however it turns out in the end, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if Donald Trump became president and the Supreme Court then ruled, no, you can actually arrest a president for criminal acts committed in office. For instance, lying to prosecutors, lying under investigation, I don't know, lying to the American people. But I don't really want that. I mean, this tit for tat is going to be the final pop of the American balloon as we shrivel and the last gasp of helium leaks out and we just simply start to swirl down the drain. Law and order needs to be restored. And I fully expect that the Supreme Court will put some limits on this lawfare that the Democrats have perfected, especially this particular election cycle, and they have to. They are desperate. They understand that Donald Trump is leading in 7 of the 8 battleground states. There was a Bloomberg poll. What do they call that poll? It's another name besides Bloomberg. It is the – it's such small print. I hate it. Old eyes, the Morning Consult, that's it. It's the Morning Consult Bloomberg poll. In battleground states, Donald Trump leads 49 to 43% overall. But in Arizona, 49-42, Georgia, 49-43, Nevada, 51-43, North Carolina, 51-41, Pennsylvania, 47-46, Wisconsin, 48-44. That's relatively unheard of, especially for Trump, but in general for Republicans this early in an election cycle because of the way they oversample Democrats and the way the media tries to continue to play with your mind. But that's pretty darn exciting when you think about it. And part of the reason that they're desperate to find other ways to keep Donald Trump from winning, other ways to illegally interfere with and predict and create the outcome of this next election, is because they know that their margins, in spite of the insanity in 2020, in spite of all of it, their margins were so close. Because if you remember, and I hate that I have to say this all the time, Donald Trump lost in the battleground states by a total nationwide, considering focusing on just the right districts in just the right battleground states, by about 44,000 votes. 44,000 votes. I heard Hugh Hewitt use the number 42,000 the other day, but I've always said between 40 and 44. So, you know, 10,000 votes in Georgia. No fraud there. We hear that all the time from the soft-skinned, weak-spined Republicans and so-called Republican supporters. No evidence of anything. And I remind them, I put this website out all the time now, if you want to see the results of weeks of trial surrounding election fraud and involving the Republican, so-called Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, go to VoterGA.org, VoterGA.org. See video, read transcripts, actually learn something about evidence that exists now in court records of actual voter fraud, including flipping the results of a Dominion voter vote counter on the witness stand with a ballpoint pen belonging to opposing counsel. Oh, well, you know, just a little thing. Or get a hold of transcripts from John Eastman's disbarment trial in California. 2 months worth of trial. Laced top to bottom with actual evidence from around the country of actual voter fraud. So the Democrats are terrified. So terrified that now another set of indictments has been dropped, this time out of Arizona. And a Democrat attorney general, of course, and we'll talk about her in just a second, Chris Mayes. In fact, I've got some audio from her, very recent audio from her, that will be just shocking to you. The margins are so darn close. And in Arizona, when she ostensibly, theoretically, won over Abe Hamadeh, me and names, Abe Hamadeh, I believe is the way you pronounce his last name, a former intelligence agent, obviously former AG candidate, now a congressional candidate in Arizona. Remember the election of 2022. They didn't have the COVID cover so that they could count ballots so late, so they could send out an unlimited number of ballots to make sure they can fill the coffers with just the right votes, just the right number of votes. They didn't have the cover of COVID to do it. They couldn't get away with the lessened signature standards. They couldn't get away with counting ballots after the cutoff of the receipt of ballots. They couldn't get away with all of that garbage. So what did they do in Arizona? Do you remember Maricopa County? Somehow, some way, hard to predict, hard to understand how it could happen. On election day in deep red Republican areas, the voting machines didn't work. Huh. The paper didn't fit. The ink was wrong. The software was bad. Oh, the lines here are too big. You've got to go somewhere else. you know what? We're going to take your ballot and we're just going to stick it over here in this room. Don't worry about it. It's fine. We just can't run it through right now, but we'll do it later. I promise. And in that highly contested attorney general race in Arizona, over a month and a half after the actual elections, recount after recount, Democrat Chris Mayes, remember originally her lead was only 511 votes, in spite of the multitude of Republicans who were prevented from voting and the ones that ostensibly sure looks like, I absolutely believe, ballots were not counted because of the way they managed the whole Maricopa thing. And the original count had her winning that seat by 511 votes. That's it. Statewide in Arizona, 511. And 6-7 weeks later, after the recount, her lead was whittled down to 280 votes. And that is in spite of all of the shenanigans to delay and prevent Republicans from voting in powerful Republican counties and areas within Maricopa County. So they know the gig is up. They know that the RNC has been unleashed after 40 years in the darkness because of a consent decree. You hear Lara Trump, co-chair of the RNC now, talk about it all the time. They plan to have 100,000 volunteers and lawyers on the ground and not divided up over 50 states and territories, but divided up over the battleground states where it will matter, where the presidency will be decided. And the Democrats know that the gig is up. And that's why there's more lawfare. I have not read the new indictments against John Eastman, my fellow RNC committee man, Tyler Boyer from Arizona. Well, the list goes on and on. But I know what the general allegations are. And I know that they're, in fact, we've got some great audio from Mike Davis and Abe Hamadah, who I've been talking about. We'll play that a little bit later in the show. When we come back from our first break, we're going to hear from Tucker Carlson on the 20. Did I say Carlson? My coffee-laden mouth. You know, I get tired in the evenings. I'm an old guy now, so I have to zip myself up. But Tucker Carlson has about 3.5 powerful minutes on, of course, the 2020 election was stolen. And I just want to say this. The chair of the Colorado State GOP, Dave Williams, a good friend, someone I supported for this position, someone who's been doing a bang-up job on all fronts, and I know he's criticized for running for Congress, but, you know, an unexpected opportunity, hard to pass that up if I were in his shoes and was interested in being in Congress. I'm not. But he was on with Peter Boyles this morning, and I didn't know about this in advance. But I did get to hear the first 10 or 15 minutes of the interview. And, you know, Peter and Dave are friends. They go back, much like Peter and I used to be, where you could disagree and have good conversation about it and still, you know, shake hands, kiss on the cheek, and go have a bite to eat. But Dave was in and looks like, from looking at the podcast, stuck around a long time. And if you want to hear the current thinking in the leadership team of the Republican Party, and of course, as Republican National Committee man, I sit on the executive committee. I get to be involved in decisions and discussions regularly. And if you want to hear great answers to the same old questions, make sure you go back and grab the podcast of the first hour of the Peter Boyle Show this morning at 9 o'clock. And the only thing I wish, and I know this will never happen, just not going to happen here or maybe anywhere, but I will just say it one more time to anybody with a microphone, anybody with a video camera, anybody with a blog or a dying newspaper column or anything at all that wants to talk about election fraud. from 2020, from 2022, it's game on. All you got to do is let me know. Because Dave was hit with some of the same old questions. He's not a lawyer. He doesn't understand all of the nuance and all of the detail. He's certainly not involved in election fraud cases, as I am firsthand on two fronts. But those questions all have answers. And I imagine that's why some of you tune in here to talk about and hear about some of those answers whenever we get the chance. But let's go ahead now. It's 5:20. Let's take our first pause so that we can come back and hear exactly what Tucker had to say about election 2020. All that's ahead if you stay right here on 710 KNUS. Simon and Garfunkel, of course, back in 1966, I was 7 years old. And of course, as I launch head forward into the summer and the year anniversary of the death of my beautiful wife, Tana, songs like that have different meaning for me than they used to. I think that song is really about the changing moods of a woman and the changing moods in a love affair. But I like that song so much, we're going to hear more of it next hour as well. But we're back to work. If you missed the first segment, make sure you go back and check it out, because we jumped in talking about election fraud and the fact that the soft-skinned, soft-spined, unwilling to actually engage in the debate, people with knowledge, Republicans, refused to talk about. And we sent people to the great website, voterga.org, where you can get all of the information about a six-week-long trial with Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger as the defendant, although he went to a court and then appealed when he lost so that he wouldn't have to actually show up and testify. But 6 weeks that thing went on, laced with evidence of voter fraud in Georgia. The Jod Eastman trial, which has temporarily at least taken away his law license in California, still licensed in D.C., went on for about 2 months and goes way beyond the voter fraud in Georgia, goes way beyond to the other battleground states, reports, scientists, actual information. And I throw that gauntlet down almost every show. Anybody who seriously wants to debate the issue, not with these, you know, these wide ranging, generalized questions that, for instance, Dave Williams got hit with. And, you know, they're fair questions, but you can't really get to the detail, especially if you're a lawyer involved in these things. Someone who's on the front line of all of it, you can't really get into the detail unless you narrow down and focus on a particular issue with regard to the 2020 election. We talked about 2022 and the 200 votes that saved the Democrat who became attorney general there and has now, Chris Mays, a former Republican, by the way, now a Democrat, 500 vote margin of victory reduced to 200 votes after the recounts, in spite of the massive fraud, we shouldn't say fraud, we should simply say equipment technical difficulties. How's that? But that allowed her to now whip off this indictment, more lawfare. Very surprised they didn't figure out some way to try and name Tyler Boyer. Jod Eastman is renamed in another indictment. This one much, I would think, as a lawyer, and I'm saying this based on what I've read about it, not having read the indictment myself, I'd be less concerned about this one than the one in Georgia where they're trying to get him on a RICO charge and everything else. It's all a bunch of lawfare nonsense, in my humble opinion. But obviously, time-consuming, stress-creating lawfare takes you out of the game, just like they've dragged Trump out of the campaign game with this nonsense in New York. Very, very effective strategy of the radical left. And it's really a sign of their desperation because they can't pull off the level of fraudulent actions that they did in 2020 that became much more hard for them to do in 2022, which is why they had to go to, the Mickey Mousing of the machines. And by the way, all those machines checked out right before Election Day in Maricopa County. You know, they passed all the tests. So strange that on Election Day in Republican areas that the ink was wrong or the paper wouldn't fit, and on and on and on. And yet those who will not see refuse to actually dig down into the weeds and try to begin to understand what's happening. And, you know, there's a lot you can't talk about. There's a lot that you have to be very careful in this day of lawfare, in this day of Department of Justice. These agencies of the federal government, the administrative state, the fourth branch of government, completely out of control. Congress, who is supposed to have the supervisory authority over these agencies, demand, for instance, notes and documents from the HER report, where they determined that Joe Biden was too old and feeble and no jury would convict such a nice old man who simply can't remember, you know, practically how to put one foot in front of the other. And Congress says, we want to see those notes. We want to understand about those interviews. And they just say no. They just thumb their noses. Merrick Garland, never to be U.S. Supreme Court Justice Merrick Garland, ignoring subpoenas from Congress. The same thing that Trump's advisor Peter Navarro is sitting in jail for 4 months for doing. The same thing that Barack Hussein Obama's attorney general did, thumbed his nose at a congressional subpoena. Never spent a minute in a courtroom, certainly not a second in jail. So the administrative state is without a doubt the most concerning part of out of control government that we're dealing with. Spending is right up there. This country cannot stay on this path that they're doing forever. But, you know, I've played this little clip many, many times. Chuck the Schmuck Schumer, way back after Donald Trump's election, talking about it's not nice to poke your finger into the eye of the deep state.
So I was distraught right after the election, but I'm now actually invigorated by the challenge and our ability to succeed in this challenge.
Let me ask you, I don't know if you have seen this. I don't want to blindside you with this. This is the latest statement, latest tweet, as you were just saying, the president-elect's latest yeah. unsolicited pronouncement on the intelligence community. This was his tweet just a little while ago tonight. You see the scare quotes there. The yeah. intelligence briefing yeah. on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday, perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. We're actually told, intelligence sources tell NBC News since this tweet has been posted, that actually this intelligence briefing for the president-elect was always planned for Friday. It hasn't been delayed. Look. But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but I, from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I used to think it was only five ways from Sunday, but apparently it's six ways from Sunday. Can you imagine a branch of government that's not established in the Constitution, that has the power of subpoena, the power to arrest, carry firearms, barge into your home, and thanks to Mike Johnson and the reauthorization of the FISA courts, spy on American citizens without obtaining a warrant in certain situations? Unaccountable to anybody. And Chuck Schumer doesn't even hide it. He says Trump, smart guy, or for somebody who's supposed to be a smart businessman, really dumb to go after the intelligence agencies. So of course people are careful. And when you've got the ability of an attorney general to indict people for, and we've got some excellent clips on this so-called false elector claim, criminal charge, and all of it. We'll get to those in just a little bit. But when you've got that kind of power, the power of the state, the power to arrest, the power to drag, for instance, a Donald Trump into an area of the country where he's despised by the vast majority of citizens, and then imagine that he can sit in front of a so-called jury of his peers and get a fair trial. Of course people are cautious, and that's the point. That's how you squash dissent. You put people in jail. You take them away from their business. You take them away from their livelihood. You threaten to take them away from their families, to destroy their reputations. And that's the America that we're living in. It takes tremendous courage to push back on all of that, and I commend everybody who does it. I guess before we jump into Tucker Carlson and his really powerful 3.5 minutes on, of course, the election was stolen, we got to take advantage of some phone calls. So let's start tonight with Joe in Arvada. Joe, thanks for waiting and welcome to the show.
Hi, Randy. I would just die to be the interviewer and ask Chuck Schumer, well, where did he hear it from? He says, I've been told. Which one of the, deep state agencies told you this, Chuck? Because it seems like they have a lot of communication with the left, but zero communication with the right. Have you noticed, the way they handled Hillary Clinton was like with kid gloves, but Donald Trump gets an entourage of heavy artilleryed FBI agents, right?
Yeah, and you read some of the Julie Kelly reporting on the file documents that the judge who's handling Donald Trump's document case in Florida has ordered to be released, unredacted and released? It shows.
Absolutely, I read it.
Go ahead and explain it to the audience, because it's incredible, the collusion.
It's pretty simple. The documents show that these people knew that there was really nothing wrong with what Donald Trump was doing. He was just working with the library, the presidential records people. And then they trumped up a bunch of nonsense, and then they worked it so that they could try to entrap Donald Trump is what really happened. The whole thing has been an entrapment by the FBI, just like January 6th with Ray Epps and other FBI things. But I actually called you, Randy, to ask this question. See, I believe anybody that pays attention can see that the court and these prosecutors are corrupt, or at least some of the court. And there has to be some reining in of some of these nutcase prosecutors and judges. And this is my question to you. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is chief for a reason. There's a reason why he's called the Chief Justice. See, I believe this. They didn't want two presidents, our founders. They didn't want the Chief Justice to have power like the president, but they wanted him to be a overseer of the judiciary for just such nonsense as what's going on. And even though Chief Roberts doesn't like Donald Trump, that's obvious. He has to protect our republic and come out and say that these judges need to stop the lawfare, stop the prosecutions of people just because they can't afford it. And they're putting people like Mike Lindell at jeopardy of losing their fortune. Not because they want to really uphold justice, but because they want to make the guy broke. Just like Donald Trump was given that ridiculous $400 million judgment, that is a good example of judicial malpractice, and the Chief Justice needs to rein in the garbage.
Well, Joe, the real test for me on the strength and the will of the Supreme Court is going to come when they take a look at the way they've used these sentence enhancers against the J6ers, and the judges are already warning defendants, don't you challenge that sentence based on the anticipated Supreme Court ruling, because there are other ways I can sentence you to even longer prison sentences. It is terrifying how even the judiciary is taking advantage of their power with so little check and balance. And I pray that we continue to see more and more courage out of the U.S. Supreme Court. It seems to be headed that way.
I think so. I think we saw some signs of life. But I think one of the things that's tying down Chief Justice is his hatred for Donald Trump. Look, it's time to put aside your feelings of, you know, against Donald Trump's character and look at the fact that your judiciary is prosecuting praying little old grandmas wandering into the Capitol and sentencing them to long court cases, and then you let go. Your judiciary in different states is letting go literally murderers, and you're putting people that are guilty of some petty grievance against the United States, some heinous lawfare, and yet you're letting people like the FBI get away with crimes against humanity.
It's pretty terrifying, Joe. We're up against it. Appreciate your call. Have yourself a good weekend, sir.
Thank you, Randy.
Joe's line is open, 303-696-1971. We do have to take a break. I want to jump right into the Tucker Carlson mini diatribe on the stolen election when we return here on 710 KNUS. It's for Genesee Jessica. Butterflies. Anyway, we're back. Wake up with Randy Corcoran. Phone number here, 303-696-1971. 696-1971, 40 degrees in Aurora, 42 over there in hell. Always hotter in hell, which is what they've turned Denver into, my beloved birth city. Very depressing, very sad, and very scary if you're stuck there, because it's just an ugly place to walk around so much of the time. Anyway, I told you I wanted to jump into Tucker Carlson on the stolen election. And let's hear what good old Tucker had to say, along with, let's actually see how many people have listened to this so far.
It's now apparently a criminal.
Not ready for you to talk. Stop it. All right, here we go. 2.2 million views, and this thing came out maybe about 24 hours ago. Getting some viewership there, Tucker. Let it rip.
It's now apparently a criminal offense, a felony in this country, to suggest the 2020 presidential campaign was not on the level. That crime appears to form the basis of one of Donald Trump's pending indictments. He's an election denier. But actually, it's worth denying the legitimacy of that election because it was not fair. Critical information was withheld from voters through censorship and, yes, by the government. That is a fact. It's also a fact that Mark Zuckerberg spent $400 million to control voting in various places around the country and affect the outcome.
Let's pause there for just one second, because isn't it funny that the election fraud deniers in the Republican Party, around the country, certainly in the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine, refuse to talk about those two facts? Zuckerbucks. I mean, we had that conversation so many times going up into the 2022 election, because Pam Anderson, the Republican establishment's selected choice for Secretary of State to take on Jenna Griswold here in Colorado, sat on the board of the organization that distributed the Zuckerbucks $400 million worth into, once again, just the right places. More of those drop boxes, unmonitored drop boxes on corners, more people to go grab those ballots. And, you know, when we were digging into that, they'd come back and say, well, no, we gave money to Republicans, too, if they asked. You go and look at the distribution of the money. It wasn't even close. Let's get back to Tucker.
That's not legitimate. It was also conducted in many places through electronic voting machines. And no country should ever use electronic voting machines because fundamentally they cannot be trusted. Why would you trust it? But then there's the question of outright cheating, voter fraud. Was there voter fraud? Well, we know there was some, but was it widespread? That is a hard allegation to prove, though, of course, many people believe there was widespread fraud. Well, now it turns out we know for a fact that there was. And in fact, it can be proven with a poll. Just ask people, did you personally commit voter fraud? Well, that has just been done. And the answer is a huge percentage of people asked in the poll admitted, yes, I committed voter fraud. It's remarkable. Justin Haskins is a senior fellow at the Heartland Institute. He joins us now with details. Justin, thanks so much for coming on. If you could just start by giving us the results, the shocking results of this poll, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So it was pretty straightforward. We asked people a series of questions. The first of which is, or one of the first questions was, did you vote in the 2020 election, and did you vote with an absentee ballot? And if they answered yes to both of those questions, then we asked a bunch of questions related to voter fraud. We didn't tell them that we were asking, did you commit voter fraud? We just asked them about various behaviors. So, for example, we asked people, did you vote in a state where you're no longer a legal resident? That's a pretty straightforward question. If you're not a permanent resident of a state, you can't vote there. 17% of people, nearly one in five, said yes, they did do that. We asked people, did you fill out a ballot for someone else on their behalf? That's also illegal. You're not allowed to fill out someone else's ballot. 21% of people said yes to that question. We asked if people forged the signature of a friend or family member on their behalf, with or without their permission. We actually put that in the poll question, and 17% of people said yes to that. So, all told, it's at least, and I say at least, one in five mail-in ballots involved some kind of fraudulent activity. But we didn't just stop there. We also asked everyone, whether they voted via mail-in ballot or not, so in-person voting as well, do you know anyone who personally, in your personal life, a friend, a family member, acquaintance, someone from work, has anyone ever admitted to you that they did one of these kinds of forms of voter fraud? And 10% and 11%, we asked two different questions on that, said yes, people admitted to me that they committed voter fraud.
Thanks a lot for watching us on X.
You are so welcome. So don't tell people why you're asking questions, but ask some specific questions and people will tell you the truth. And I have to say it again, 44,000 votes separated Donald Trump from the presidency in 2020. 40,000 in just the right places. Ballot harvesting, minimized signature verification, all mail-in balloting. The evidence, remember when at the end of 2020, during the election, when we started talking about boxes and boxes, pallets of ballots driving from, what was it, New York to Pennsylvania. That story's been proven true. We've got video of what went on inside the Georgia Convention Center, whatever that facility was where they had the claimed, the massive water leak, had to clear the Republicans out of the building, and then people went back to work pulling those boxes of ballots out from under tables. Affidavits from people. I know some radio hosts think affidavits in court are meaningless. That is sworn testimony. Go to voterga.org. Check out some of the evidence in the John Eastman, the trial that has taken his California law license, at least for now. And just wait, because the more time goes on, and if Donald Trump gets into office, they know this is part of the terror of the radical left that's in charge right now. They know that the gig will be up. Now, everybody still seems to believe that Joe Biden is going to be the Democrat nominee. I still don't believe that to be the case. Michelle Obama, chomping at the bit, waiting in the wings, has done all the right things, the second autobiography, all of the political talking and speeches that she gives, building her popularity, going on The View, denying any interest whatsoever. And I don't know, you know, maybe Biden's picking up his game because apparently he wants to take Donald Trump out behind the barn.
But like, for example, you know, I mean, Trump makes fun of me.
Right.
He was the kind of guy in the neighborhood. I wish he could have gotten in the neighborhood, meet head to head. But at any rate.
I wish we could have gotten in the neighborhood head to head at any rate. Remember, he used to, when he could actually put a whole sentence together, when he was campaigning for president, he talked about, you know, taking Trump out to the, wasn't the woodshed, it wasn't the smoking lot. That's where we had to go fight when I was a kid. Yeah, apparently, you know, Biden is pretty feisty at 91 or however old he seems right now. But, you know, maybe there's a chance that he's getting better. Maybe there's a chance that he can work in front of a crowd, maybe build up his game. I have to admit, whatever they pumped him full of for the State of the Union address, he read through that speech pretty darn well. But here's Biden when the drugs wear off.
I see an America where we protect freedoms, not take them away. I see an economy that grows from the middle out and the bottom up, where the wealthy pay their fair share, so we can have child care, paid leave, and so much more, and still reduce the federal deficit and increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause.
Yes, and don't think that Donald Trump didn't see that Biden babble.
Well, I watched him yesterday making this speech, and he was reading it, and he goes, pause. Can you imagine? If I did that, it would be over, okay? It would be front page news. And he reads pause, and he didn't know exactly what happened. The audience was a little rather stunned. But this is what we have, and we have them negotiating with Putin and President Xi of China and Kim Jong-un of North Korea. And we have the potential of World War III. We do, too. Don't kid yourself. It's never been on people's minds more. And, you know, 6 months is very, a little more than 6 months now, which is sounds good. But that's a long time in the life of this country with this leadership, because they don't know what they're doing.
They don't know what they're doing. And even though Lawfare has Donald Trump sitting in a courtroom day after day after day, leading in seven battleground states, six out of the seven swing states. Let's see what they were again. Arizona, 49-42. Georgia, 49-43. Pennsylvania, 47-46. Wisconsin, 48-44. North Carolina, 51-41. Nevada, 51-43. The only swing state on that list that Donald Trump trails in right now is Michigan, where Biden is theoretically up 47-45%. When the radical left knows they won, ostensibly won, selected a president in 2020 by a mere 42,000, according to Hugh Hewitt, I've always said 40,000 to 44,000 votes in just the right places. To see Donald Trump performing like this, they are terrified. More violence coming to the streets, more Lawfare coming to our own backyards. Stay with us. We'll dig in deep when we return.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.